107 FM Talk 106.5, and it's Mobile Mornings on a Friday. Glad to have you along, Sean, and the birthday boy, Dalton Orwig.
Woo.
Yep, that's right. Dr. Bill's got our forecast. Caden keeps us up to date on traffic, and we'll talk about some of the stories in state news and national news. Of course, state news, KIV, cancer. We'll talk about that story coming up in just a little bit, plus rainfall totals from yesterday. What a freak occurrence there. Flash flooding by definition yesterday. If you ever wondered, if you search flash flooding on YouTube, mm-hmm. you probably would see a video from what happened yesterday in Mobile.
Just unreal.
Yeah.
The water pulled up so quickly.
Hey, we got, Dr. Bill said, some areas of town over 7 inches in like 4 hours. Pretty significant, and we'll talk about that as well. It's also a Friday. It's Football Friday. Mm-hmm. This is when we can all just ride the coattails of my man Dalton Orwig and his picks here, what he thinks is going to happen in football.
Although last week, yeah. that was a bad deal because, you know, I really thought that South had a chance to maybe shock the world against Memphis.
No, but you didn't say they would, but you thought they were going to be
I thought they would at least keep it competitive
yes.
at a minimum,
yeah.
and that did not happen as the Memphis Tigers came to town and absolutely crushed the South Alabama Jaguars. Also, the other upset pick I had last week, and, you know, a lot of people, you'll hear on sports shows, they'll give you their picks and say, "Ooh, I think this person will upset," mm-hmm. and then when that doesn't happen, they don't talk about it ever again. Yeah, they just let it slide.
Right.
I thought Kentucky had a really good chance last week of beating Florida for the mm-hmm. second year in a row, and they actually were doing really well, and I thought should have won the game. Florida's starting quarterback Felipe Franks ended up leaving with an injury, and the backup came in, Kyle Trask, and ended up leading Florida to a comfort-behind victory. So I was wrong on both of my upset picks last week, and we'll just have to see how I do this week. And I'm hoping in the FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em Challenge, you know, you got to get your picks in before tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I only got 5 out of 10 right last week because I had a couple of those upset picks. This week, Beach House Bobby rising back to the top.
Okay, so these are the picks I'm going to listen to here.
Mm-hmm. So we got plenty of really good games tomorrow, especially in the SEC, where we have two top 25 matchups. Of course, the game that I know a lot of people around here care the most about tomorrow. You can hear it right here on FM Talk 106.5 with the kickoff set for 2:30 and the pregame show beginning at 11:30 tomorrow morning. We have the number 8 ranked Auburn Tigers heading on the road play in College Station against the 17th ranked Texas A&M Aggies. Right now, Texas A&M 3.5-point favorites over Auburn. I know a lot of people heard that Texas A&M are favored in this game, and they're like, how could that be? They've got a worse record. They've already got a loss this season, although it came to the number 1 ranked Clemson Tigers, and they're further behind Auburn in the top 25 rankings. So why are they favored over Auburn?
Yeah, help me.
The answer to that is
Kyle Field.
Yes, Kyle Field, where home of the 12th man. It's going to be really loud. It's Bo Nix, the Auburn quarterback. It's, I guess, his first official road start, even though he started the first game of the year in Arlington against Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
But that crowd was more split. You know, you had a lot of Auburn fans and a lot of Oregon fans there at that game. So this will be his first true road test where pretty much everybody in the building will be making noise while Auburn's offense is out there on the field. But we saw what Bo Nix did in that first game against Oregon, leading Auburn to that come-from-behind victory, that touchdown pass to Seth Williams there at the very end of the game. So both of these teams have top 25 matchups under their belt already, with Auburn beating Oregon and the Aggies losing in week 2 to Clemson. And they went on the road and played at Clemson and lost 24-10. And even though they lost, though, Texas A&M put up a pretty good showing. You know, they were playing the best mm-hmm. team in the nation, or one of the top 2 teams in the nation. And the defense is who Auburn will need to be worried about tomorrow. And that is the main reason that Texas A&M is favored, because you have a freshman quarterback going on the road playing against a really good defense at Kyle Field, where it's going to be loud, very, very loud. And the defense, they actually held Clemson to 389 yards, which sounds like a lot, but that's the lowest.
Clemson, yeah.
Yeah, it's Clemson. That's the lowest total they've had this year or last year. So the Texas A&M defense, they actually slowed down Travis Etienne, the running back for Clemson, who was a Heisman candidate going into the year. So look tomorrow for the Auburn running game to be the focus for Texas A&M. They're really going to try to slow down Jatarvius Booby Whitlow
yes.
for the Auburn Tigers. And I think they're going to try to force Bo Nix to win this game with his arm and legs.
Okay, so let me do this. This is like when the student offers something to the teacher.
Mm.
The, probably way out of place, but we talked about Bo Nix being a freshman quarterback, mm-hmm. but he's like no, he's not just a freshman quarterback.
Right. I mean,
the guy's been groomed. He comes from a football pedigree.
Yeah, good stock.
Yes, and he grew up with football. He grew up with a father, you know, obviously player, but coach as well. And probably he's been stress tested a little more mm-hmm. than just your average freshman quarterback.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, because he's not one or two. He's 1.5, right? I mean, he's a little above what a freshman quarterback would be.
For sure. He's not somebody that Auburn didn't expect to play this year. You know, sometimes you see freshmen put into action mm-hmm. and the team never wanted them to see the field unless
that poor kid's eyes. He's like, oh crap.
Right. Bo Nix, he was groomed for this and one of the greatest Alabama high school players ever. I mean, he set records as quarterback up in Phoenix City.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw in week one, you know, he's kind of got that it factor, even though most of these first three games, even though he's gotten better these last couple of games against Tulane and Kent State, he's kind of been getting on more of the same page as the rest of his team. But the accuracy and really knowing where to go with the ball, that's going to take some time. And hopefully he's kind of built that up and he's ready to go into Texas A&M and play a little better throughout the entire game. But we saw at the end of that Oregon game that he's kind of got that it factor.
Mm-hmm.
He's able to make things happen, and he looks really calm when it comes down to it. And that's probably one quality. You know, you need the accuracy. You need the game-breaking ability to play quarterback in the SEC. But if you're not calm at the end of games when it comes time to make a big play, that can count against you in so many different ways. And Bo Nix, he just, from that first game, he seems to have that it factor. That's why I think, and you know, Texas A&M, they've got revenge on their minds because mm-hmm. they led by 12 last year at Auburn in the fourth quarter, and Auburn came back and won that game. So Texas A&M, and they're really good at home. Vegas knows what they're doing. That's why they put them as a 4-point favorite. I feel like most people will be betting on Auburn to win tomorrow, so it'd be smart to pick Texas A&M, but this Bo Nix, something about him, I feel like he's going to be able to make some magic happen. I think he's a better quarterback than Kellen Mond from Texas A&M, he started like 25 games, so he's a veteran in the college game, but there's something about Bo Nix. I think he'll be able to make it happen tomorrow in College Station.
All right.
Alabama.
Well, that's my pick.
Alabama, they've got Southern Miss coming to Tuscaloosa tomorrow. That game's an 11 a.m. kickoff. Bama, 38.5-point favorites. Of course, they're the number 2-ranked team in the nation. Southern Miss, though, they're coming off an awesome win at Troy last weekend. They won 47-42. And that comes after they lost to Mississippi State 38-15. This is actually Southern Miss's third week in a row on the road before they get back home. So third week in a row on the road mm-hmm. and playing at Tuscaloosa.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be tough for them. Bama, of course, coming off a 47-23 win at South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And Tua Tagovailoa with a career day against the Gamecocks, 444 yards and 5 touchdowns. He's going against the team tomorrow. Golden Eagles have given up 8.6 yards per pass this season, so I'd expect some big numbers from Tua in the passing game again tomorrow. But when Bama's on defense, you're going to see a whole lot of true freshmen out there on the field with so many injuries to the Bama veterans so far this season. They say as many as 4 true freshmen could start on defense for the Tide tomorrow, but this is Southern Miss, so I wouldn't expect a whole lot of trouble with that Southern Miss offense. Pretty one-dimensional. They don't even have a 100-yard rusher yet this season, 3 games into the year.
Wow.
So they're more known for passing the ball, and if there's one thing you don't want to be going up against Nick Saban, that's one-dimensional on mm-hmm. offense, because he knows how to move the chess pieces around and make it really difficult on a team that can only do one thing really well. So I would expect Alabama's defense to come out and try to get some of those young guys some experience tomorrow.
All right, coming back, more of Football Friday with Dalton. Games aplenty tomorrow. Hopefully you're one of the crew that's in our College Pick'em series, and you're... I don't know if you want to take his advice. I'm trying to think what's good for me, how I can move on up the ranks. Yeah, let's give him some false picks or something like that. Let's do that when we get back. Right, 821 FM Talk 106.5. Mobile mornings on a Friday. Weekend looks good. I mean, we got through after the storm, right? After the storm, the rainbow, and I don't know if there's a rainbow, but things are looking better for the weekend and drier. and a bit cooler, 89, 90 degrees, which will feel like a cold front after
Thank
where
goodness.
We've been. So it'll be a little nicer. Maybe you can actually get outside, maybe watch the games on the outside TV, mm-hmm. do something like that this weekend.
Well, it ought to feel pretty good at the Hunting and Fishing Expo tomorrow.
Yeah, so well, there's going to be inside and there'll be air conditioning.
Oh,
so
that's exactly what I meant when I said that.
I like the fact that it's an outdoors, all about outdoors, but we're going to do it inside.
I assumed it would be outside.
No, it's good. And the grounds has a gigantic facility out mm-hmm. there. So we'll be doing that tomorrow. Outdoor show starts at 10, and we'll be doing it from location there. Talk a lot of fishing, but also with dove season on and teal season and looking forward to deer season, a lot of that discussion as well, starting at 10. So hopefully we'll see you out there at the grounds. And also, you know, I'll be going back out there next month. We're going to see some rodeo.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
it's
hopefully
gonna be awesome.
Get a crew of us from the station to go the same night. Whether we do, I don't know, we're going to do bull riding mm-hmm. or roping, or we'll figure out what night we're going.
Yeah. I'd love to go to all the nights, but as a team, we need to pick
yes.
one night.
That's yes, right. We'll figure that out here coming up soon. All right, we're talking football Friday, and mm-hmm. You walked us through the Auburn, you walked us through the Alabama.
Yeah.
Let's talk about other games of interest here.
There's another huge top 10 matchup tomorrow night, and features a couple teams who have been in the college football playoff over the last couple of years. You got the number 3 ranked Georgia Bulldogs.
Never heard of them.
Tomorrow night, hosting the number 7 ranked Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these two teams played a couple years ago. You know, they set up one of these home and homes, and I guess they took last year off for some reason when they scheduled it. But you had Georgia playing at Notre Dame 2 years ago. That was actually Jake Fromm's first start as a quarterback.
Oh, really?
The Georgia quarterback. And Georgia won that game on the road 20-19. So you know Notre Dame, even though it's a couple years, they're probably looking for some revenge
sure.
tomorrow night. This game will be played in Athens. And a lot can be learned from the line in Vegas, the odds. This game actually opened with Georgia as 11.5, 12-point favorites
okay.
against Notre Dame. It so far has climbed to over a 2-touchdown spread. Georgia now favored by 14.5
huh.
points. And anytime it gets past the magic number of 14, you know, you've got 7, 10, and 14, numbers that are pretty common in football with touchdowns and
mm-hmm.
field goals. Anytime a team is expected to win by more than 14 points, that says a lot for the line to go past that number.
Okay.
And that means that a lot of money is coming in on the Georgia Bulldogs to not only beat Notre Dame, but beat them pretty good tomorrow night. But Notre Dame, you know, they have a history of not playing very well in these huge matchups
mm-hmm.
like they've got tomorrow night. But from what I've seen and going back and looking, they play these pretty close. So it's pretty interesting if you're looking at the odds there. But I think Georgia, with their running game, DeAndre Swift, you know, they don't really ask Jake Fromm, even though a lot of people talk about him as one of the top quarterbacks that should be entering the draft this next season because
right.
he is eligible to enter the draft. Georgia doesn't put a whole lot on him. They don't really ask him to go out and win the game very often. I think he's only had two games where he's passed for at least 29 attempts, which is pretty low in college football. That's because their run game
is
just so outstanding. And DeAndre Swift is the
lead
back.
When your name is Swift.
Yeah, it's a great name for a running back. It's like if their fullback was named Huge or something like that.
Square.
So DeAndre Swift, he's outstanding. And Notre Dame, they really have not done a good job of stopping the run this year against Louisville. And they had another game a couple weeks ago where their defense.
Not sounding good for Notre Dame.
It isn't. Which means that, you know, Notre Dame will probably end up coming out and winning the game tomorrow. But Georgia, they're going to look to run the ball. Notre Dame, they're looking to shore up that run defense, which has been not doing a very good job these first couple of weeks. On the other side of the ball, Notre Dame has a really good quarterback in Ian Book, but who will he be able to throw the ball to is the question
yeah.
tomorrow night, because they don't really have any, you know, outstanding receivers. They've got some good receivers.
It's a bad combo to have a great QB and nobody to throw the ball to.
And going up against an SEC defense like Georgia, they've got some outstanding cornerbacks, a really good front seven. So, you know, Georgia, they're expected to come out tomorrow. They've got a bye week coming up after this game,
okay.
which usually means their focus isn't anywhere else
right.
but this game because they get the week off afterwards. Georgia playing at home, looking to make the playoff again this year. I would expect them to come out tomorrow night looking really good against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
You like Georgia even with the line?
14.5 points, I'd probably look at taking Notre Dame with the
okay.
line.
Right.
And with Brian Kelly, I do think, and this is probably a this is probably a lot of people will disagree with me here, but I do think that Brian Kelly is actually a better coach than Kirby Smart. I think when they're out there
throwing shade,
when they're
man.
Out there on the field, I think that Brian Kelly's a better coach. I think that Kirby Smart's a better recruiter. He has a lot of really good players, but he's made some questionable decisions in game. And given Brian Kelly over two touchdowns with a top 10 ranked Notre Dame team, I do like him to keep it relatively close, but I think Georgia will probably win the game by at least a touchdown.
All right.
In my opinion. A big game for the South Alabama Jaguars tomorrow night, playing UAB. And I couldn't believe this because I feel like they've played before, but they have never played in football. USA and UAB have never played against each other
really?
In football. I thought that was pretty strange.
The Lazarus team of UAB that was gone and then came back, which is a cool story. That's
yeah, they
right?
came back from the dead. Bill Clark brought them back, and they're looking good this year. So far, UAB 2-0. They actually had a bye week last week to prepare for the South Alabama game, but they beat Alabama State the first week of the year and then went to Akron and won on the road 31-20. South, they've had a lot more difficult schedule than UAB has to begin the year. Of course, they began the season with a tough loss to Nebraska. They went on the road to Lincoln, and I thought played really well, but they ended up losing that game 35-21, came home and beat Jackson State for the home opener 37-14, and then laid an absolute egg last week against Memphis with the Memphis Tigers coming to town, and they ended up beating South 42-6. Now, the one thing that South can hang their hat on this year has been, until last week, has been their run game with the senior running back Trey Minter. He was knocked out last week in that Memphis game, I think in the second quarter. It was pretty early in the game, but with a head injury. He had a concussion, which puts him in the concussion protocol.
Yeah, what's the rule on that?
Well, they have to pass some kind of test during the year, where during the week before they're eligible to play. The team medical doctor has to put them through a test, and they have to, you know, meet all these benchmarks before they're allowed to go back out there on the field. The last I saw is that he's doubtful to play tomorrow against UAB. But this is a matchup with two former high school quarterbacks from Mobile. You got Tyler Johnston, who's quarterback up there for UAB. He's already won the Conference USA Player of the Week once this year. He's a Mobilian. He's been doing really good this year. And then, of course, you have Cephas Johnson at quarterback for South Alabama, the former Davidson Warrior. So there will be a lot of local guys in this game tomorrow. It's strange. They're playing on the NFL Network. If you're looking for the game, they'll kick off at 2:30 tomorrow in Birmingham. And UAB actually favored by 11 points over South. So I'm looking forward to that game.
That could be another cool rivalry for South, though.
Yeah.
If they get this going forward, I like that. I like that USA and UAB.
I wish they would schedule it more often. What makes it tough is UAB is a Conference USA team, and you got South as a Sun Belt team. But that hasn't stopped other rivalries in the past.
Yep.
I'd like to see this game be played more often. And, you know, they're relatively equal for all things considered. It's not like South Alabama would have to play Auburn or Alabama every year. Pretty equal teams here. A few more games we can just kind of run over. You got Tennessee playing at number 9 ranked Florida. Gators favored by 14 points right now. Tennessee's only beaten them once in the last 16 years, and well, it doesn't look like it's going to happen tomorrow. Number 4, LSU playing at Vanderbilt. LSU's favored by 24 points. You've got Mississippi State hosting Kentucky. The Bulldogs favored by 6. Missouri hosting South Carolina. Missouri favored by 9. And Ole Miss hosting number 23-ranked California. Rebels favored by 2.5 points.
All right, if you got any other questions or comments on that, you can hit us up at 343-0106. Thank you, Dalton, the birthday boy, on this Football Friday. At 837 FM Talk 106.5. Yeah, it does put it in perspective. We had a pretty good soaker here at home and some flash flooding for sure. But I'm now looking at more pictures out of the Houston area. 40 inches of rain. You see that our buddy Ben sent us a story from KHOU 11 in Houston. I-10 East Freeway shut down indefinitely due to major damage at the San Jacinto River. It says all lanes of I-10... All lanes of I-10,
wow,
the East Freeway, are shut down early today in both directions at the San Jacinto River. Views from Air 11, I guess that's their helicopter, show the bridge appears to have suffered major damage when it was struck by loose barges overnight. So this is where it comes over one of those buying in the San Jacinto, and yeah, they're looking at it. The barges smashed. This is now they will get they won't have to pay a toll to fix this. The federal government will come in to fix this section of I-10. Not giving anybody ideas. Loose barges.
That's what I was about to say.
But they said because of the issue, tolls... Listen, it all comes together. Because of the issue, tolls on the Sam Houston Tollway Bridge over the Houston Ship Channel are temporarily being waived if drivers want to connect to Highway 90 or 225 at the Fred Hartman Bridge. So, wait a second. It sounds like, and I'm giving you two stories here. Number one story is about what happened at Houston. Okay, this is, you have sections of I-10 being taken out. Listen to that. There seems to be another route that maybe is faster. Hey, Houstonians?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Houstonians, if you've got, if you're listening and you can help me understand this better, is this Sam Houston Tollway Bridge, is this a route just like I-10 East? Is this, what I'm trying to figure out is, because they're saying here on KHOU 11, that tolls on the Sam Houston Tollway Bridge over the Houston Ship Channel temporarily waived. I'm just wondering if that's a situation where they did have a tolled bridge and they weren't tolling the main section of I-10.
Who would let them do that?
I don't know. I don't know that that's true. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure it out. Houstonians, 343-0106, we've got lines for you. Let me know if you just know a lot about Houston. I mean, I've driven through there quite a few times, but I don't know.
It looks
Sam
like
Houston
it,
Tollway from,
you know, looking at it,
stairway
it's
to heaven.
Kind of south of Houston, like 10 goes directly through Houston,
right?
And
so it's not like a side by side route.
It looks like it goes around Houston, the Sam Houston
okay.
Tollway.
All right.
It connects east of 10, well, both east and west of 10, right. And it kind of like dips like a U underneath the city of Houston.
But if you are for some reason heading west or east, if you're going through Houston, obviously you're gonna probably need to take an alternate route.
Yeah, right. My buddy Caswell just moved out to Houston from Birmingham. I guess he's been there a month and a half, 2 months now, and I was getting video from him all day yesterday. It was just pouring. It was unbelievable, and he was sending it yesterday morning. I was like, "Ha, stinks to be you! All that rain. Look at all the rain you're getting." And then, of course, yesterday afternoon we got just hammered with rain at my house and other parts of Mobile here.
All right, so that's. I just wonder if we look more. I just saw the story, and then I saw Tollway, and I saw I-10. It got me wondering. Also, in state news, if you haven't heard by now, here it is: Governor Ivey announcing a cancer diagnosis. I want to point out that Sean Ross over at Yellowhammer News, yellowhammernews.com. What's up, Sean? Because Sean's headline, support pours in after Ivy announces cancer diagnosis. No step too high for a high stepper.
No way.
Think we're catching on around the state.
I think we're due royalties.
Reaction poured in from around Alabama on Thursday afternoon after Governor Kay Ivey announced she will undergo an outpatient procedure today, soon to be followed by radiation treatments after the early discovery of lung cancer. Elected officials and politicians from across the Yellowhammer State and the nation offered heartfelt words of support and prayer for Ivy. Let me add my voice to that. Godspeed, Governor Ivy. Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth tweeted yesterday. He said, throughout her career, Kay Ivey has proven herself to be a strong and determined woman who will confront any obstacle placed in her path. The courage and tenacity she has shown in the past will serve her well in the challenge that lies ahead. Throughout her treatment, Governor Ivy will carry with her their prayers, thoughts, and well wishes of millions of Alabamians and those of my family, and I will certainly be amongst them. All right, so, and then you get, you know, everybody from the PSC, President Twinkle Kavanaugh, to Secretary of State Merrill, to Senate Pro Tem Del Marsh, to Bradley Byrne, to Martha Roby, they're all sending their best wishes. And then I got here, this is one I want to point out, State Auditor Jim Ziegler.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you had to paint a picture, at least in the political arena, of two opposed folks, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think through this toll debate, you could say Jim Ziegler, Kay Ivey were, I mean, they were the, even though there were lots of people behind them on both sides, they're the figureheads for that debate.
Fair? Yeah, you wouldn't find them holding hands.
Right, they were the figureheads. I mean, what was the last line from State Auditor Jim Ziegler about hitting a mule in the head or something?
Yes,
with a 2x4?
2x4.
All right, but let me point out, this is how it's supposed to be done, okay? I like that our state is staying maybe different than the nation. Jim Ziegler stated yesterday, as a cancer survivor myself from 2001, I know that early detection, treatment, and prayer can work. I am confident Governor Ivey will have the best treatment available, and we have a wonderful cancer program in Alabama. Kay Ivey is one tough lady, and I am confident that the cancer will be the loser in this fight. So that's great. You know, that's great. I mean, you've got, that's the way it should be. You have these two diametrically opposed politicos on this issue, but stepping up, good for you, State Auditor Jim Ziegler.
Yeah, it seems like most of the public figureheads have come out and have said nice things about this. I don't know why I do this to myself, though. Anytime, you know, Kay Ivey yesterday, she tweeted about her cancer diagnosis,
right.
And she said, during a routine exam, a spot was discovered on my lung that was unusual and is indeed a tiny isolated malignancy. The good news is I'm fortunate it was discovered early. It's very treatable. I welcome your prayers and your support. That's where I should stop. You know, I should like it. I should say something to the governor, like, I hope you get well soon. But I always go into the comment sections. I don't know why I do that, because it's just a cesspool. There are so many angry people out there, Twitter, Facebook, wherever you want to find them online.
Keyboard warriors, yeah.
And just some despicable things said underneath her comment there. Most of them.
I mean, this is what you and I do every day. And I look at that, and I don't know why. You show some class.
Yeah.
Show some class. You can disagree with somebody politically all day long. When something like this is going on, show some damn class.
It's too easy when you've got an anonymous account. None of these people would stand face-to-face.
Yeah, would they say that in front of her?
Right. Or even in front of a camera. Most of them probably wouldn't say this. And they get online and say, you know, awful things to her, whether it's about, you know, her political views or things she's done in the past.
She's fighting cancer, you know. Act right.
Exactly. There are plenty of reasons, especially, you know, a lot of people down here that aren't happy with some of the decisions she has made as governor. But set that aside. Look at this as Governor Kay Ivey, the person.
Absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
I wish her well, and I hope this she's able to overcome this very quickly.
I think most people that aren't, you know, in their back bedroom of their mom's house on a keyboard would wish her well as well. You know, whatever the politics of it is, you know, that's secondary to what's going on now. By the way, too, so Representative Chris Pringle, running for Representative AL1, said yesterday on Twitter, no step too high for a high stepper. Thank you, Chris, local guy. And Governor Kay Ivey responded on Twitter, you got that right. So pretty awesome, and that's good. This is the way I wish we didn't have this situation, but I would like to see this more in the national narrative, too. You can battle like cats and dogs, and you should, for your idea and ideals, but somebody dealing with something like this, you act right. Show some home training.
You know, you could send get well soon cards and balloons. We should send her, they've got those Thanksgiving turkey balloons.
We should do that.
Send her the Thanksgiving turkey.
Okay, let's do that. Let's figure out where, if they've got those things already. People in the balloon business around here, do y'all have already? Can you get those? You know, the kind of the foil balloon things with the turkeys on it.
And if we send that, maybe we can book an interview with her after that.
Listen, at that point, I'll continue when she's better. I will continue my day in day out battle that she doesn't come in here and talk to me and all that stuff. But that stuff is secondary to what's going on now. Our best wishes for sure for a speedy recovery for the governor. All right, 8:46, coming right back. Phone number is 343-0106. Some of the video coming out from the flooding yesterday, you see cars floating around, you know, getting inundated. You also see junk floating around in the floodwaters. So don't be that person. Don't have obstacles for your neighborhood be stuff that floated out of your yard. Maybe you can identify it as you get the flotsam and jetsam out of the street and back in your yard. Pick up the phone and make a call to 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey. He and his crew are working in Mobile and Baldwin counties, getting junk gone from houses. I mean, if you've got like a junk room instead of a junk drawer in your house, get that junk gone. If you're getting ready to move, maybe you're moving a house, get rid of the junk right now, and then you don't have to carry that to the new place. How about that? Or maybe you have something outside the house that may float into the neighbor's yard next time it rains a whole bunch. Get rid of that as well. I mean, stuff like, I think I use swing set a bunch, but that's the best explanation of what they do. You might have something you want gone, but you don't know how to haul it off. They can handle that. It could be something big, like a swing set or a storage building in the backyard. They can handle it. They can get rid of it. Same thing at your office. Could be a storage unit you want to clean out. You got junk. You want it gone. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Pick up the phone, and they'll give you an appointment time, like an actual day and time y'all will agree on. That's when they show up. They quote you a price, and if it works for y'all, then they get to work right then. 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, 852, and I've seen some comments here on the Governor Ivey thing. It's just a bunch of people talk about prayers and you know, sent out to the governor, and I'm with you. That's, I guess I just don't. There's where it changed. You would think with doing this for all these years, I would be in, you know, I'd be that kind of people, the cult of hating anybody who disagrees with them politically. I can fight it out with folks all day long. If somebody's ill,
mm-hmm.
and they're, even if you disagree with somebody politically, it doesn't make them a bad person. I mean, if there's some like bad, if there's some member of the Taliban
right.
that has it, I'm like, eh, oh well, tough, no good wishes, you know,
yeah.
even though I probably should as well. But somebody who you just politically disagree with, yeah, I think there's so many people that hide behind the keyboard on that stuff, and you see those comments. It's just, but yeah, I don't want to censor their speech.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to have the speech, but I want people to look at it and go, you know what? Just shun those people.
Yeah.
Just shun them, box them out of the world of people that act right.
Yeah, they just, you know, these people live in a world of negativity. They probably, you know, catch crap all day at work
yep.
and hate their lives. And they're probably, it's not just online, they're probably mean to the people around them, too. Because I don't see how you could turn that off. If you're the same person that's tweeting mean things to the governor, when she reveals, you know, that she's got cancer, I don't see how you could be that person online and then not just be a total, I'll use the word tool,
yeah,
everywhere else that you go in life. I don't know.
They suffer quietly or whatever until they go back to a keyboard, then they're going to take it out on people.
Yeah.
And then I hope your cancer, really? Really?
It's too much. It's too much. And I infect my own life by reading those stupid comments when I don't know why I do that, because then I get angry reading how all these other people are so mean to others. So I don't know. Maybe that's my goal for my 28th year on this earth, is to quit reading the comments section. I mean,
but
obviously I'm going to read the...
But it's so tempting,
I'm going to keep reading the text line and our Facebook comments and stuff, but
you're talking about on other posts.
On other posts, whenever, you know, the president tweets something, even though that's entertaining too, looking at those comments, but I feel like my life would be 100% better if I quit going to the comment section.
Let's see, okay, and we'll always go, at least I'll always go to our comment sections, and people do that in our comment sections too. If it's constructive or somebody disagrees with something, I read those, well, you know the parable. I mean, I'm going to find that's the first comment I go to,
mm-hmm.
the one that disagrees. And if they're making an argument, then that's good. It's a fair argument back and forth. I probably might disagree with them, might whatever. But the people that just let other people produce things,
mm-hmm.
be that work, labor, art, media, whatever, and then come in there and say, oh, yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
brilliant there.
Haters.
Yeah, so brilliant. All right, speaking of which, our social media platforms, at FM Talk 1065 on Twitter, facebook.com/FM Talk 1065. Text line 343-0106.
Mm-hmm.
I missed something. Instagram, but there's really nothing to get angry on Instagram about.
I'm at Dalton Orwig, and the one place where I do love the negativity is the trash talk during college football games. So tomorrow, you know, if you're beating me, which I highly doubt, if you're beating me in the FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em Challenge, bring it on. I want to hear it.
But that's a different story, though. That's a different story. Nobody's like, okay, in College Pick'em Challenge, if you had a health issue, we may talk trash in College Pick'em Challenge, but if you had a health issue, I wouldn't go, aha, hope you don't make it through this.
Well, you just gave me an idea. If I have a bad day tomorrow, I am coming up with a health issue. That's the reason.
You're saying right now you might fake something like
gout or something.
You say you got a bad case of scurvy, the hantavirus, something like that. All right, coming up on the midday show today, we will talk about because I think, let's see, 10 days. We should start having some of the first teams in this Great Alabama 650 Canoe Kayak Race starting to get close to the finish line. By the way, if you didn't hear me talking about the race before with Greg Wingo, who puts this on, this is the longest canoe paddle race in the United States. It's right here in Alabama. They started up on Weiss Lake. So up, you know, I mean, we're talking about the Appalachian Mountains, up at Weiss Lake,
mm-hmm.
and they're canoeing from there the whole way to Fort Morgan. They have 10 days. 650 miles to canoe.
That's ridiculous.
So I saw some posts from Big Daddy Lawler from up in central Alabama. He was showing some of the teams coming through there along the Alabama River there in Wilcox County. I saw some of those pictures. I think people have made it that far down. I don't know that anybody's made it down into our neck of the woods yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to check on that today, and hopefully we'll get a report from Greg coming up during the midday show. But, y'all, there's all these teams that are canoe, kayak, and the paddleboard guy dropped out.
He did? I was going to ask.
I knew it. I was like, who can do that?
How many miles did he make?
I don't know. We'll try to find that out today. But, y'all, the finish line is Fort Morgan. It's going to be there at the Fort Morgan boat launch. And it's quite an accomplishment these individuals and these teams have made, 650-mile grind of paddling to get here. And it culminates right here in Baldwin County. So we'll be I'll try to get you the details coming up on the midday show. And maybe, Greg, because there's trackers on all these canoes and kayaks, so you can see where they are and kind of time it out. If there's a bunch of them coming in at one time, maybe go watch them come in and give them a big cheer.
When did you say they started the race?
They started a week ago tomorrow.
Okay. Wow.
So they started on last Saturday, and they have 10 days to finish or you're DQ'd. At that point, you're just paddling around.
I wonder if we could, put a ringer in there, get our boys from Fight or Die, maybe an offshoot team to enter this race next year.
Might be. You could have a competition within the ranks of veterans that want to be on the next year's Fight or Die team to win this to get on the team.
That'd be awesome.
But it's a pretty big race. It's 650 down the rivers is pretty incredible. Paddling across or rowing across the Atlantic is a different critter in its own right. All right, we'll see you on 3. Mike Gallagher is next. Hey, it's Sean Sullivan, and this weekend, the inaugural Gulf Coast Hunting and Fishing Expo at the grounds. We'll be there with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors live at 10 on Saturday. Come out for hunting, fishing, outdoor products and services, plus guest speakers, live music, prize giveaways, and celebrity appearances, including Matt Bradley from The Deadliest Catch and Bubba Thompson of the Cowboy Way, Alabama. That is Saturday and Sunday at the grounds, the Gulf Coast Hunting and Fishing Expo. Come see us live for a special edition of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors starting at 10 on Saturday.